our table here was probably quite focused towards the Arts Council funding, Creative Scotland side of it. So Dag was our kind of sectoral influence, so she had us to deal with in that way. So just sectoral.
There's a new theme emerging today, I think.
So the approach that we want to take forward with this initiative is about how, as arts funders, we put the talent, empower the talent spotting into the sector, into the organisations that are there, and have the capability to do that, and how then we developing that capacity there. And for us, it was really one of the things we kept coming back to, is that in terms of what organisations might take that on, that yes, it was a place where the large-scale, well-established arts institutions, but actually also the maybe the more emerging organisations and companies that have been through that very recently themselves. Mm-hmm. And so it was our responsibilities as funders in terms of talent spotting would be in identifying those organisations who would then take that on, and to be quite broad in that. And the programme that would be put in place would, we've been really struck by the emphasis coming back about community and ensemble and that within talent development. So it would bring together a number of makers, regardless of discipline, disciplines, not get disciplined. They would have shared space, they would benefit from peer learning, they would benefit from producer, director mentoring, they would benefit from having been introduced to key people within the sector that they're working in, and across sectors as well, to take their things forward. There could be a bit of money attached to it, particularly to look at the kind of things that are really crucial but difficult at that stage of your career. So to be going and doing some workshops, to travel and see some work, to go and see a lot of work. And there was recognition at our table that those of us who greatly benefit from getting invited along to a lot of things are actually probably the people that can afford to do that, pay it for themselves. So there's also a sideline thing about how we become more generous with our free invites, as we sideline. And it would be for a set period of time, so they would go through this programme maybe for a year or 18 months, but then when they graduated from it or moved on from it, they would also have the opportunity to stay part of that network as well.
Thank you.
So that's fantastic. We haven't come up
absolutely
with a cool name for it or anything.
No, I didn't ask for that. Thank you very much.
Hello. We haven't come up with a cool name either, I'm afraid. We were actually working on something quite similar, but our thinking began at the from an artist-focused perspective, because we had three artists around the table here, and we were looking at the needs that artists have, because quite at the most basic level, the thing that artists need to make great work is a living wage and a space to work in, and because of the wonderful creative ecology and the other organisations around us, most other things can be borrowed, given in kind, and obtained from goodwill and as part of a barter economy. So we were recognising, of course, that from an investment perspective, from the point of view of an arts council, what drives that is a need to trust that the group of artists, and to know that they are going to be able to deliver and carry out that project. So we identified that the key part of that relationship would be established producers who were able to project manage, to make relationships on behalf of that artist, to match make and to find the right industry context for the type of work that's being made. So we had looked, we were considering the perhaps writing into funding agreements a responsibility from established building-based organisations to cluster companies, and to provide a suite of things that kind of support should be flexible and responsive to each individual group of artists or artists, and that those organisations could and should work as part of a network, as well as having independent producers who have that role, so that it's all based on relationships there. From the point of view of artists, of course, we recognise that you would want to have someone producing your work who wasn't interested in your work, but someone, you know, there will always be someone that's interested in great work. Maybe not the person that lives in the same city as you, but there'll be someone further afield. So it's important that those networks work together. What else do we say? Yes, and of course, on top of all of that, the kind of opportunities that we can offer beyond that immediate hierarchy of needs of space and a wage, business training opportunities, perhaps directing mentorship, those other types of support, those things that can be tailored and come much more from being part of that industry context. Was there anything else that we should mention?
Thank you, Laura. Let's go diagonally across. Thank you.
Hello. We started from the principles, I think, but we've been a bit obsessed on this table with the number 7. So we've got 7 principles, I'm afraid, but I'll do it very quickly, which then did lead us to a proper thought about an initiative. So our principles, not in any order, are understanding the need, artists need, for space and time, thinking about that not just in the short term, which relates to another principle, but particularly thinking about the in-between times, which seem like an important idea, where you have to do other jobs other than make your art.
Yep.
Thinking about the long term in all sorts of senses, thinking about networks and cohorts. So we started to explore some of the fellowship models that have come out for the investment in cultural leadership and asked ourselves, could some of those things be applied to an initiative for artists usefully?
Yep, that makes sense.
So network and cohort, and then thinking about connecting to the wider world, that got us into all sorts of different kinds of territory, but particularly thinking about engaging artists, as has already been discussed, I think, here in other sectors, in other spaces and other places, places where we think that their ability to doubt and to question, to bring uncertainty, but also to explore their own practice and perhaps find new spaces for their work could be a benefit. Yeah. And we talked quite a lot about making sure or finding ways that artists can be more responsive to markets and audiences. And then the notion, which I suppose connects all of those, that seems strong for all of us, was about reciprocity and trying to find ways that between stewards and artists, or between organisations and individuals and beyond culture, that we have a reciprocal relationship and we value the artists as much as we value other bits of our world. And we talked then partly to do with the idea about making better use of the resources we have, which is refers very much back to that. So I think what we're imagining is a long-term process, a year or two, with a long tail on it, so that each cohort would influence the next and the next. And we've got in a very interesting discussion about how perhaps this isn't only for artists, perhaps there's a spectrum of people who behave as stewards, some of whom are practitioners, some of whom aren't. And that they have a strong relationship between ignorance and expertise. So bringing what you don't know to the table as well as what you do. And we talked about that maybe behaving a little like a playground, in the sense that you can come and go from it and take what you need from it.
Yeah. Thank you very, very much. Susie.
Thanks, Erica. That's one to follow. So around this table, we've got programmers, producers, artists, and funders, which is either a perfect storm or a recipe for disaster. And what we talked about mainly was talent mainstreaming as opposed to talent development, which we all felt slightly more comfortable with as a term.
Say that again.
Talent mainstreaming rather than
talent mainstreaming.
Yeah, rather than talent development. We should talk about after maybe. And we focused on feedback and how we can create a paradigm shift in British culture that means that honest and open feedback from the earliest stage of an artist's career is something that's accepted and welcomed. Because around this table, we don't feel we're particularly good at it. Principles-wise, we talked about distributed investment and responsibility through all the layers of the creative sector, from arts organisation and stakeholder down to individual, with a responsibility to describe why and how the artistic process is going to happen. We also talked about dialogue, which leads straight back into that, regaining that possibility of honesty. And then growth coming out of that, so I suppose that's more impact. But growth is something that we're aiming for. Define growth. We didn't get that far.
Yeah.
And then we talked a little bit around structures, but haven't kind of got to the point of trying to design anything, because...
One of the things that we talked about was that we have a great deal of leverage in the way that in a country like Britain, the way that the funding application works, that on the funding application we're asked as an organisation, what do you do to improve the quality of your marketing? What do you do to improve your engagement with audiences? We don't get asked, what do you do to improve the artistic skill within your company? What do you do to make the artists in your company better artists? And that we don't necessarily need to prescribe how that's done. We just need to ask organisations, what's your solution? What do you do?
And then I guess coming out of that, we didn't really want to go any further with structure, because actually for all of us, the important thing is that the visions and the principles are established.
Mm-hmm.
And then structure is designed at the level at which it's being implemented. Because otherwise we get back to that roadmap, one solution thing. That
No, exactly. No, that's fantastic. Completely understand. Thank you. Thank you. Again, diagonally. Okay, goodness. Who's speaking?
Okay, we deviated from the task.
I would never have guessed, Susan.
Sorry.
Thank you.
we came up with a blinding glimpse of the obvious, really, that we want to develop a talent development project which includes these elements: time, space, money, talent. And I would add all ages, cross-generational, cross-disciplinary, and connect all of that with audiences. And we thought, because of the representation here around the table, that there would be three possible locations where this could be developed. One where it's already happening in the Battersea Arts Centre in London, one in West Midlands where there is talent development happening, but there's no particular fixed building that you have in mind for this. Although there are lots of buildings there which would be possible for. And then this rather unsung place, which is only 45 minutes from here, called Berwick-on-Tweed, which is an amazing town where nobody goes, it seems, a lot of the time. And there is a wonderful theater there, an extremely energetic theater director from New Zealand, who I think is very interested in talent development. We are heavily influenced by our Brazilian member of the table who doesn't want to talk about SESCI, which is this amazing model. But...
It's not that I don't want to talk, it's because I'm not a specialist in SESCI. I know SESCI because I did a lot of collaborations with them, and I think they are a wonderful organization with very important things, but also with things We can correct if we want to do another model, like always.
Exactly.
Like always. This is so normal. And the CESCI, to people who don't know exactly what it is, it's a kind of union for money who comes from commerce in Brazil, and it's a huge budget. Just to let you have one idea, it's I think it's three times the budget of the Ministry of Culture. And this money goes mainly to São Paulo State, São Paulo region. And they have in São Paulo City only around 14 cultural centers who are a complex of buildings where they have swimming pools, football plays, gyms, and also theaters, movie, restaurant, a place for children's libraries. What we was talking at this table was about the way CESC make the programming. And this programming comes from CESC employees. They don't have specialists doing this programming. And sometimes we have some lap, we say in English? Gap, I'm sorry. Oh my God. It's well, this was information I did pass for the table because
yes.
They asked me. I'm not CESC people.
But it's nice to have that. To have that example. We had the example of Sistema Scotland yesterday was mentioned as well, which is another South American project that has been brought to Scotland and many parts of the UK as another example of developing people and talent.
Sistema, it's one of our social work.
Totally, I know.
Totally.
I was only referring to it as
yes,
another example.
Yes.
It's good to have tangible examples.
Yeah, and CESC is a totally different thing.
Yeah.
But I think I was telling people here that if they want to know better about CESC, it's, we have a CESC representative who will be in lunch.
Oh,
I think he can
fantastic.
Make
Thank
more
you.
Clear all
Lovely.
This information.
Brilliant. Do you want to keep going with your project? You've got 1 minute.
I would just say that we think we would be fired by your advertising agency because we have not come up with all the elements, but we have the germ of a good idea. And,
yes,
you know,
absolutely.
Just give us a little more time and money and we'll come up with it.
Thank you. That's brilliant. And finally.
Okay, so I'll introduce us, but I think we'll probably all contribute a bit. We started off by kind of revisiting and establishing the principles by which we wanted to design our process. So we identified trust, generosity, and risk, which have all been talked about quite a lot over the last couple of days. And then we also identified a desire to create the fewest possible obstacles least possible structure, but within limits of needing an administrative and also selection process that gives value to the work and to the people making it, and allows a process of value judgment as well, so that whilst we're casting wide nets, we're also identifying people that we think have talents that can be expanded on. And then we also looked at what our organisational, sort of various organisational around the table objectives were, and something that came up that was slightly the elephant in the room with the desire to create.
Oh,
I'm
glad we've got one. I was missing him yesterday.
Excellent. The desire to create a kind of democratic, open talent generation scheme actually is to. In the National Theatre of Scotland's case, there is a need to build theatre. It's a very tangible thing that we all are making work for particular reasons. So we're running buildings or we're running companies that want to make a particular sort of work. So there's an organisational objective there as well as a specific kind of artistic objective. So we came up with various ideas. Which kind of, Andrew centred them around a matrix of smart opportunities. So we'd like to create quite a grand scheme which involves a process by which artists are offered small development opportunities through something which Gavin has been advocating very strongly, which is not giving them constricting objectives, but allowing a fast response, small amount of money grant process, which can be applied to any sort of ideas, which has very little by way of reporting or justification. But this then becomes a gateway into a more joined up network of opportunities through existing organisations. So identifying people who have the skills and people who have the opportunities across regions or across the country who can then facilitate the growth of those particular artists. So we kind of had a micro, a macro, and a very, very grand level to it. And then the thing that we actually came around to right at the end was that maybe in order to make this happen, as well as supporting the artists, we really need to support the producers, as they're the people who are facilitating those things in practice at the moment, and find ways of supporting the people who can do the joining up without necessarily creating a sort of monolithic organisation which manages a talent across the country. Wow, I actually managed to summarise that.
Thank you very much. I'm really riveting to hear the different kind of responses and lots of extremely rich material and hopefully some ideas that some of you might want to take forward. I know that lots of you already in the room are doing an enormous amount of talent development in different ways, so I hope all of you have kind of gained an insight through those conversations, so thank you.